Welcome to the Music Maker Podcast. This is where we dive deep into the art of music creation, discussing the intricacies of music production, mindset, and the music industry, while connecting you with your favorite artists in order to help you on your own musical journey. I'm your host, Flash89. Let's get into it.
Yo, what is up? Welcome to this episode of the Music Maker Podcast. I am stoked to have you here. I am Flash89. This episode, I'm going to share a personal story of mine, which hits pretty close to home because it's a story about some challenges that I had to face to jeopardize my career. And it's a topic that you probably don't hear about too much. Every now and then it'll pop up and someone will share a little bit about it, but it's a topic in particular about hearing loss and tinnitus. Tinnitus being the ringing in the ears. If you're not familiar with it, it's essentially an auditory sound in your hearing of constant ringing, which you can't actually get rid of. And it can present a lot of challenges, particularly if you're in music and you're using your number one instrument is your ears and your ability to hear. So this can really throw people off, and it definitely threw me off. And I've learned a lot of things from my experience with these challenges, and I'm still doing music. So I think it's something worth sharing, because if you're going through it, it can be really hard. If you don't understand it, I can at least share my experiences. So if you ever do go through it, you have some insights that might help you. And then hopefully this episode will act as, yeah, some insights that if you do know someone that's going through it, this might help, because I definitely know hearing stories of people that overcame their challenges and still do what they want to do definitely helped me through my experience. And then at the end of the episode, what I'm going to do is share a few strategies that I use in particular that have really helped me with hearing loss, and then a few strategies also with tinnitus and the things that I use to basically keep on top of it and still do what I want to do. Now, for me, for those, if you're just tuned in, if you've never really listened to the show before, or this podcast, or you're not familiar with me, I'm sure most people are that listen to this podcast. But if you're not, I'm a music producer. I've been producing for 10 plus years. I'm in my early 30s, and I produce house music under Flash89. I've produced a range of different music over that time period, not just with Flash89, in some other projects as well. And so I've got a lot of experience having, you know, making records, doing official remixes, releasing official songs, and over multiple genres. So through that time, I've definitely clocked my 10,000 hours in music. And while that's great for skills, that can also be a predisposition to challenges that we're about to talk about, which is hearing loss and tinnitus. Now, how would I explain this? This all started for me when I was in my early 20s and I was learning how to make music, how to make dance music in particular. When I was younger, I would never, in my, you know, my teens and stuff, I loved music, listened to a lot of Metallica and stuff like that. No extraordinary stories. I wasn't a musician. I played a little bit of guitar, didn't keep with it to be good enough at it and all that stuff. So I wasn't a musician. But when I was in my early 20s, I was DJing. I became fascinated with that, and I wanted to learn to make music. And you got to spend a lot of time practicing to do that, and which I did. And while that was great, and I don't have any regrets there, in hindsight, while I was learning to make music, I didn't have the knowledge and understanding of how to maintain my hearing health. I did hear lots of stories about wear earplugs and stuff like that, which I actually did. You know, in nightclubs when I was DJing, I was pretty sensible. I DJed with my earplugs in, and when I was in clubs, I'd always have my earplugs in. You know, I wasn't an angel about it. Like, there were times where maybe I was having one too many beers or something like that, and you can't feel the music as much when you're DJing, and I'd sort of poke the earplug out a bit. I know a lot of DJs, even though they know they should be, they just go, I can't do it. I can't DJ with earplugs in, which I get. You know, we all kind of have that issue that we have to deal with and trying to maintain our hearing health and not cranking up the volume too much. But the problem for me wasn't actually about nightclubs. It was learning to write records for long periods of time, spending lots of time in the studio, you know, 4 hour to 8 hour sessions, possibly at times with very little breaks. And because I'm a pretty obsessive person, like when I want to do something or I'm really set on something, I become pretty obsessive in that sense. Like I will, that's all I ever think about. It's all I ever want to do. You know, I've always kind of been like that whenever I do have something in particular that I really enjoy or want to do, which is, I think, is a cool trait. It's a good trait to have in a person, drive, etc. But it can be detrimental when it's not maybe focused in the right way. And for me, spending too long in the studio, I got to a point where one night I went to go to bed, and I was in my early 20s, about 22 years old or so. And I remember going to bed, and I, up until that point, I'd always sleep with, you know, minimal sound and noise and stuff. So, you know, it was pretty quiet, and all of a sudden I could hear this very faint, if I paid attention carefully, I could hear this very faint ringing in the ears, in my right ear in particular. And if I was going to explain it to anyone or describe it, if you ever watch a war movie and you hear like a grenade goes off and you hear this, you know, like constant ringing, it was kind of like that, not that intense. But if you brought the volume down, I could just hear it. And it was enough to be really bloody annoying and almost to the point of scary. I was like, what is that? Why won't it go away? And I had no idea what it was. And this, little did I know, this kickstarted my whole life experience with these topics. And yeah, I basically had this ring in the ears that wouldn't go away in my right ear. I thought it was because of nightclubs or music or whatever. I'm a musician. All of a sudden your mind goes to, oh, I love doing this. This is my passion, to this is going to jeopardize my career and what I want to do. And it might take away my passion. You know, if no one's ever really experienced that or you're not familiar with it, the only way I could maybe explain it to is if you were, imagine being a long distance runner who's training for the Olympics or something, and all of a sudden he's jeopardized, his legs might be taken away. Or if you're a guitarist and you use your hands a lot, or if you're a tradesman and you use your hands a lot, and all of a sudden you jeopardize your hands being taken away. You know, you really love these types of things, or you have a real passion or drive for them, and something says, well, you know what? You might not be able to do that. That's what your mind jumps to and leaps to. And it can be really full-on experience. This was actually my first experience with anxiety. I didn't know what the hell anxiety was. If anything, I thought people sort of talked a lot of, you know, bullshit when it came to anxiety. And forgive my ignorance. This is just my 22-year-old self knowing nothing about this stuff. We talk about it a lot now, but at the time, anxiety, depression, these things weren't really spoken about back then. If anything, it was more about that stoic kind of, like, blokes don't talk about their feelings or anything stressing them out. They just kind of like bottle it up, put it down, and keep getting on with it. But while inside, you're like breaking inside. And this was really full-on experience. So this kind of went on for a while, and it was a few years of like learning how to get used to this and educating myself. And, you know, I managed to find support. My family, I've been very lucky and grateful to have a very supportive family. And I was in a duo at the time too. So this kind of fed into my duo. So I've actually had him as a guest on my show, Mike Senor Raw, well said. We were in a duo together doing Senior Raw at the time, and this put a lot of strain on our commitments. You know, we were actually touring at the time around the country a bit. Like, we'd do shows interstate in Sydney and stuff when we're living in Adelaide and in Brisbane, etc. And we'd be flying away for the weekends, and I started to have to drop out and take kind of like sick leave, so to speak. And it put a lot of strain on that. And so kudos to Mike for putting up with that, because it was a really challenging time, and he was very supportive regardless of how much stress it put on him. And I probably didn't thank him enough for that at the time. So shout out to you, Mike, if you're listening, man. Now, anyway, as time went on, I started to get used to it. What you want to do with particularly the ringing in the ears, you want to eventually get to a period of what they call habituation, where you get used to the signal and your mind stops paying attention to it. Because up until this point, I'd be in bar when it's first happening and you're in the thick of it, like the real hell side of it. You'll be like at a bar and you're having a conversation while you're simultaneously listening to, how loud is it? Can I hear it in this bar? Is it loud enough to actually be able to hear the ringing? Or you're having conversations and you're that, or you might be, I don't know, you might be doing another activity like playing a sport and you're worried about that. Thankfully, sport's pretty consuming, so it does actually help, and it's pretty hard to actually pay attention to something like that. But there are certain activities where this will really throw you off, and all you'll be doing is becoming hyper-focused on the actual ringing. So in this time, I actually got my hearing checked, and my hearing was completely normal, but it didn't really give me an answer for tinnitus. And just so people know, tinnitus or ringing in the ear can be caused by lots of different issues. So it can also be health issues, like, for instance, issues with the brain or any other, lots of different issues, right? And it's actually a symptom, not an actual disease or anything like that. So just so you're aware of that, because it's not necessarily caused by hearing loss or hearing damage, but that I didn't know any of this sort of stuff at the time, and that definitely played a part on me. But as time went on, as I said, I managed to find people that I could look up to. I had support. I slowly started to get more knowledge on the topic, and I managed to get to a period of habituation where I didn't notice the ringing in my ears. It didn't bother me. And if anything, I had to concentrate on it to even notice it. Then someone would really notice it if I was in a quiet room or going to sleep. But if I put like the fan on with white noise, I'd hardly notice it. So just something to keep in mind. If you're going through this, you know, at the moment, or you know someone that is going through it, take faith that things do get better with time, patience, understanding. And there are a lot of strategies that I'll mention at the end of this that help me and can get you to that point quicker. Because if you're just jumping on the internet with forums and stuff, at least when I did in the past, you can quite easily get caught up with all the negative stuff and, oh my God, I'm going to lose my hearing and things like that. But I actually found producers through that time, in particular, that had lived it as well. And music producers like Eats Everything, if anyone's ever heard of Eats Everything, a house producer, I'm pretty sure he produces techno at the moment now, but he's a music producer. There's also other producers like Jody Wistanoff, who's part of Way Out West. They actually had articles that they went through their experience with this, and they came out the other end. They were still enjoying what they love. They had knowledge and more of an understanding of what caused their problems, and they could still live a really happy and successful and commit to their music and career. There's also another artist called Jack Rubinacci, who's really good as well. He has some really brilliant stuff that you can refer to, but I'll just let me know and I'll link you to them. But I actually got to a point of, as I said, habituation, where it was basically all good for years. You know, I think after that 22, I was about 22. I probably got used to it a few years after, and it wasn't for a while that I was just living a happy life after that. But if you fast forward 8 years later, I ended up moving to London, still doing music, still having DJed. I'd gone back and I'd actually started a new project, which was called Flash 89. This was about 2019. When I jumped into the Flash 89 project around that time, or 2017 or something like that. Anyway, 2019 is when I moved to London. And through that time, I had to learn how to write records without a studio. So I was using my Sennheiser 25s, which are basically, for those that don't know, they're just like your basic run-of-the-mill DJ headphones that most DJs use. Now, they're shocking for your ears. Well, to produce on anyway. They're not really intended to make music on, I don't think. But me as a producer, I wanted to learn how to write records on anything. You know, you give me a laptop, I'll be able to write a record on it. That's my mindset behind it. So I started to learn how to write with Sennheisers. If you listen to my mixes back then, whoo, damn, they were not the best, but they work. You know, people would still drop my records in the club. So I was happy. And when I was in London, I managed to get to studios. Pirate Studios in particular had studios for hire, and I could get to those at times, but I had to spend a lot of time making music on my Sennheiser 25s. And then COVID hit. So then what else do you do when there's COVID? You try and make music. And I didn't have a studio at my disposal. So I would be having to write with these headphones. And you just think of these little speakers right next to your eardrums constantly for hours with like minimal break. And not the best in hindsight. Having learned everything I learned, I just forgot, because time went on and I was fine. And, you know, I wasn't completely silly about it. I still had my earplugs. Whenever I'd go out, I'd use them. But I had no other choice but to write records this way. And I thought I was fine. You know, I'd overcome this challenge in the past and that was history. But life has, I guess, a cheeky way of being like, yo, you ain't learned your lesson yet. I'm going to show you again. So I copped it. So fast forward to having spent a bit of time in London lockdown and trying to do remixes and stuff. And I had no problems at this time. But then I moved back to Australia, my home country, and I had to do hotel quarantine for 2 weeks, which was bullshit. Like, to this day, I still think it's just the most ridiculous thing that we had to go through, but it is what it is. So in that time, I was in basically a hotel prison where you couldn't, you know, get out, take breaks or anything like that. You could only crack the window open. But anyway, to get through that, I was like, well, I'll just do what I love. I'll smash music. I'll just rinse it 9 to 5 every day. Sennheiser 25s, constant sound into my eardrums. And in hindsight, that was for too long a period of time and it was for too loud. And, you know, tell this to me when I'm just focused on music, right? I'm sure all the producers that listen to this show or the musicians, when you become focused, all you can do is hyper-focus on what you want and the goal you want to achieve, right? It's great. I think it's a great sort of skill to have. But as I said before, like, when you don't know how to hone that in, or you're not really, sometimes drive and stuff like that left unchecked can be detrimental to, in whatever way, shape or form. And so I get out of a hotel quarantine, and up until this point, my hearing's been great all these years, but I get out of hotel quarantine and all of a sudden I have hearing problems again, and not just ringing in the ears. That was one of them. That sucked. But I actually had hearing problems where, in this instance, when I came out, I'd been smashing music so long that I noticed that my hearing would fluctuate. I felt like it was either dropping out, but the way I would explain it was kind of like panning. If you're a music producer, you'll know panning or tremolo, where the sound, you put a plug in on it, on the channel, and the sound will be sent from left to right, left to right. And for those that don't make music or anything like that, it's essentially from sound going from one speaker to the other at a time. So it gives you this back and forth kind of effect. And that was happening to my friggin' ears. Like, I was like, is it dropping out? Is one ear better than the other? What the hell is going on? This happened for weeks. This freaked me the hell out. It was actually more scary than when this happened in my early 20s. Like, it was full on, man. I'd never experienced this before. And then I had insane ringing in my ears, like cranked up a level. And if you can think of overcoming a massive challenge, right? And it jeopardizing your passion and you overcome it. The only thing worse than that is having to go through it again, thinking you've learned your lesson and then kind of feeling like I learned nothing. And it's actually worse to have it all come back, to feel like I was back at square one was one of the most challenging things I've experienced. It was tough, man. Like, even thinking about it now, like, it just brings up emotions, because it's like, oh man, it is rough. It's the emotional going through hell, like that I've experienced anyway. You know, there are definitely things tough in life, but for me, this was a real challenge because it hit so close to home and I felt like I'd learned nothing. And I was like, man, I went through all this and I overcame it. And where the hell am I now with it? This is ridiculous. Like, I felt like such a fool. But just to paint a picture of kind of the mindset of what I was going through. And then, but thankfully I also had enough wisdom to go, I've been through this before. I've learned a lot from it in the past. The things I did right in the past, I'm going to try and address again. And there's things now that I've also learned through having these experiences with anxiety and depression in my life, because I maintain it pretty well now. I've always maybe had, I don't want to say predisposition, but I've always kind of had challenges with navigating those things, mainly depression. That's one that I've always really had a bit of a challenge with. When I say a bit, I'm underselling it. I've really had a challenge with it, but I manage it definitely, and I'm in a pretty good space with it. But yeah, so I was going through this kind of like period of intensity again. And this time I had things like meditation. I had a great support network. You know, shout out to my girlfriend, because she was one of is always one of the most supportive people I know. And she's very patient, and that really helped me. So shout out to my girlfriend, May, because that means a lot. But meditation, support networks, I'd seen people come out the other end. I know I'd been through it before. And thankfully, with time, my hearing started to return back to kind of baseline, and I didn't have this kind of panning effect. That sort of eased off. And then through that, I ended up getting a hearing test, and I'd lost some sound frequencies actually this time around, because the first time around I hadn't lost anything. But fast forward 10 years on, having DJed, making music, and I'm in my early 30s, and had these instances, I had lost a little bit of sound. I had some dips at around, I think, 300 hertz in my right ear. I basically had asymmetrical hearing loss. But I managed to actually get my hearing done with a audiologist who was also a musician, and he was like, yo man, like your hearing's not too bad actually, like for what you do. And I'd say it's pretty typical of a working musician and hearing DJ, etc. So that definitely helped, and that's one of the things that I'll talk about in a moment, of the things that really helped me get through this. And yeah, so that was, what are we now, 2024? So it was probably 2 years ago I went through that period. That was really tough to go through all that again. But with meditation, staying active, optimism, a great support network, stuff like that, I managed to get through this and get to a period of habituation again. And while I still hear the ringing in my ears and my hearing, I can hear pretty well all around actually. But it was really tough to go through that. And I hope that just sharing that, you know, in short, because I could go into more detail with this story, but I just wanted to give you the gist of it, of having gone through something that really jeopardizes your passion when you're early in your early 20s, managing to overcome that and then going through it all again. And, you know, hopefully I'm more prepared if I have to go through it again, but I do my best to maintain my health, my hearing health, and everything related to what I love to do, which is music. So what I want to finish with is I want to share some of the strategies that I use to help me stay balanced and in check, to safeguard my hearing, which is your number one instrument when it comes to making music. And I've got 5 tips in particular that might help you if you're going through this. And just before I do, I just want you to know that if you are going through this, if you ever do go through it, that things definitely do get better. Just that alone helped me, because it does. I've been through it twice now, and I really want you to know that it does get better. Try not to stress, even though you will, because it's natural. Like, it's what your brain does. Just take comfort that knowing that things will get better. If you have faith, without sounding like in a religious sense, just have faith that things will definitely get better, and that you take one day. If you take each day one step at a time, one day at a time, it can definitely help you, and you will get to the point of what they call habituation, or full recovery, blah, 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 things like that. So just want you to know that. But here are my 5 essential tips that I use to safeguard my hearing. And that is, first of all, to get a baseline hearing test, as I mentioned before. So you don't know what you don't know. And I think when you're worried about your hearing, the first step is to go get a hearing test, because then you, like, they might go, hearing's fine, chill out. And you'll be like, cool, like, that's awesome. That's all I wanted to know. And that made me feel better. If not, even if you do have hearing loss, it gives you an idea of what frequencies you need to protect and how to maintain and not make it any worse. Now, if you go to an audiologist, they'll better do you a hearing test. My understanding is that they really only test for frequencies up to, I think it was like 8K or something. I could be wrong. I don't want to steer you wrong there, but I know they're really more focused on speech hearing. So if you, you know, if you can hear pretty well, they're not too phased. Whereas I'm a music producer. I want to be able to hear people talk and stuff, but I want to know those upper frequencies up to about 20K or whatever, or down to 30 Hertz. So that's one thing to understand. And that when I got my hearing checked the most recent time, I had a guy in Brisbane who was an audiologist and also a musician, and he worked with musicians and stuff like that. So he had a better understanding of my anxieties, of my passion. And he did some more in-depth testing to really figure out higher frequencies or more specific frequencies of where I was lacking, which we picked up. I had some asymmetrical hearing loss in different areas, and I had to go get that checked, but with a specialist and yada yada. But I'm at the point where I can hear pretty well. Like, I feel like I can hear really well, actually. But I have an understanding of where my health is at the moment. Number two would be to invest in hearing earplugs, because you want to protect your hearing when you're in nightclubs. Sometimes they're just in my wallet. Like, I have a pair of 20, it decreases, I think, 20 decibels or 25 decibels, where I'll take them to if I'm out at a bar or if I'm out for dinner and stuff and it's getting too loud, if I'm in a crowded place, I'll chuck them in. Sometimes you're just in random places where there's some really loud sound. And if you're predisposed to hearing problems already, it's nice to know that you've got that safety net to chuck them in, because, yeah, I chuck them in all the time. Even sometimes movies, if they're too loud, I'll chuck them in. So just have that, stick them in your wallet so you always have them with you. Get them. You can do, if you've got no earplugs at all, you can go to the pharmacy or whatever and get those ones that bouncers will probably chuck in your ears, that they'll chuck in their ears, but they're not the most comfortable and they're kind of annoying. You can't hear bugger all. The next step is you can go on like Store DJ or DJ City and you can order some earplugs. There's some pretty good ones there. But the gold standard would be to get a custom, go to an audiologist to get custom earplugs made to safeguard your hearing there with custom made earplugs. And then what I've got next is monitor your volume. So if you're producing music with too loud a volume, I think 60 decibels is roughly speech loudness, general speech loudness. As soon as you start to go over like to 65 and definitely getting to 70 mark, I can't think of the equivalent there, but that's to me, that's too loud to produce music. And you should try to train yourself to write records at a quieter volume from 60, sometimes even less than that is what I try and do. Definitely, I even still have the habit of it with time, it slowly starts to increase volume because your ears start to fatigue and you start to push the volumes from time to time. But around that 60 mark, you can download an app on your phone which will measure roughly how loud the sound is. And if you know you're sitting on that 60 mark, good. If you're starting to push above it, maybe consider pulling the dial back and taking a break, which leads me to my next tip, which is manage your volume exposure. So it's not just about volume, it's about time as well. So your ears definitely fatigue with time. And sound that isn't necessarily as loud starts to feel louder, I believe. I'm not sure on the actual physiology behind it, but I know that with time, you need to take breaks. Just go grab a cup of tea or a coffee or something like that. Go for a walk, go to the gym, take a break, come back to it. I tend to really only produce me for 2 hours at a time, usually. Me, like, any longer than that, I just find I'm not really getting anywhere unless I did some magical session where I've really just hit the ground running and everything's flowing. I might do a longer session, but generally for me, I'm doing 2 hours at a time and trying to take breaks, but just be aware of that. And then last tip there, just for maintaining my health, that I use is opting for monitors over headphones. some producers really pride themselves, which I have as well, in being able to write records just in their headphones whenever. Just keep in mind that, fair enough, that's fine, I get it. But keep in mind, if you've got these little, if you've got speakers over your ears, right next to your eardrum, just firing away for however long you have your sessions, that's definitely going to predispose you to risk of having hearing damage. Because having sound that close to your ear in contrast to monitors is going to make a huge difference. So just that distance away. And that goes the same with earplugs, like, sorry, AirPods as well. And, you know, any other type of thing that's close to your ear. So just keep that in mind. And then to finish with, I just want to share with you some extra tips and strategies that I use to help overcome tinnitus or ringing in the ears. So I've experienced this. This has probably been my main concern over the years, which is the ringing in the ears. Now, first step is kind of like getting a baseline hearing test. It's to educate yourself, understand the physiology, what tinnitus is, why it makes us feel the way we do, why we freak the hell out when we hear it, understand how it works with your brain, and then you'll be able to understand, get a better understanding on how to manage it. Because as I said, tinnitus is actually a symptom, not so much the disease, so to speak. It's different causes for it. And then understanding how the pathophysiology works, which is, sorry, that's the health professional in me firing up there, but understanding the mechanism that how it works, and which will help you navigate fear, sadness, depression, all that sort of stuff that goes with it when you're freaking out, and hyper-focused, and will help you get to a period of habituation quicker. Then I'll go on to say that seeking guidance really helped me. As I said, there are professionals that will help you with tinnitus and how to deal with it, whether it's from like a psychology point of view. Seeing producers, successful producers like Eats Everything or Jody Westenhoff or Jack Rubinacci, these are all guys that really know and have overcome these challenges and still live and make music, really good music at that, with it all. And there's some other good things on YouTube that I can refer to. And if you are interested in that, you can reach out to me and I'll let you know. The next thing I use is mindfulness or meditation. This really helped me in my second bout when I had problems with hearing and the stress that comes with it. The different types of meditations that I use, from transcendental meditation to mindfulness meditation, there's different techniques, but at the end of the day, it's just being able to use and practice meditation consistently will help you calibrate your mind so you can take a step back while your mind is running awry with all these stories and scary thoughts and blah, blah, blah. That can really help ease your mind and help you navigate how to move forward and take it day by day, because that really helped me. Embracing optimism is another thing. This can be tricky to do if you're a pessimist. Optimism is just a good way to live life, I think. Healthy optimism is good. Not where you're just in the dream world, but if you're a pessimist, where these things can really, it definitely, my younger self might've been a bit more pessimistic, and that can definitely throw you off and put you in a negative spiral. So trying to stay optimistic, as I said, referring back to people that have made it, overcome it, that'll definitely help you. Building a support network as well, or just having a support network. So I'm really grateful. I've got a very understanding and loving family. So I've had that up my sleeve. I've got a really supportive girlfriend. I've had friends that really understand at least if they don't know much about it, they're willing to listen, and that can be really helpful. If you're having a hard time, is trying to find someone that can support you. I would suggest finding a health professional that can help you there if you don't have anyone in your immediate network. And there's definitely things on, we're pretty lucky now with the internet and stuff. There's definitely all pockets of people that can help you there. Actually, a really cool book is called Rocksteady. I forget the author, but she's got a really cool book that I recommended to someone that really helped me. I listened to it as when I was going through this rough period the second time around, where I listened to it on Audible. And yeah, that really helped me. Just things that you can refer to help you through this process. Next, I have staying active. That is huge as well because, you know, when I'm in the thick of it, going to the gym and training and doing something active, getting one endorphins moving, working, but just, yeah, it takes your mind off it because you'll notice that if you're paying full attention to having to lift a heavy bloody weight or something like that, your mind has to focus on that and it'll take its focus off the ringing in the ears for a split moment. And as you become more active and do that sort of stuff, you'll notice that those lengths of time where you forget about the ringing in your ears starts to increase, and it'll push you towards habituation, I find. And then the last tip I have is, and I'm telling my future self this if I ever have to go through it, is to be patient and have faith that things will get better. So it kind of goes in with optimism as well, but things do get better regardless of the outcome. Life goes on and you find ways to adapt. And that's a huge thing to take to note, because when you're going through that hell period where you're trying to understand this, what you're going through, just having faith that, okay, if I just take this one day at a time and I just try and be the best person I can be through this process, one day I'm going to get to a point where it doesn't bother me as much. And you do. And I did. So as hard as it is, if you're going through it, if you ever go through it, just note that take it one day at a time. You can use all these things that I've mentioned that might help you, but just, yeah, one day at a time and things will get better. Recovery takes time, that's for sure. And yeah, guys, that's essentially my story on hearing loss, tinnitus as well, ringing in the ears. Where I'm at now, I'm in a really good spot. Like, it doesn't faze me. I'm in habituation. Yes, I can hear if I pay attention right now. I can hear the ringing in my ears, but it doesn't bother me. I'm habituated to it. I'm writing records. I'm doing lots of stuff behind the scenes. And, you know, I've got this podcast, still making music, and it all looks good for the future. Like, there's nothing stopping me or that I'm freaking out about. I maintain my try and do my best to maintain my hearing health as best I can with those things I mentioned. I mean, I've got a gig this weekend as well. Like, it's, you know, I'm still DJing as well. And then this, what else? And then with tinnitus, I obviously try those methods to keep me sort of weathering the storm if things, you know, flare up or anything like that. So guys, I hope this helped. If you found any insights from it, please let me know. Feel free to hit me up on Instagram, shoot me a message or whatever, or share this episode. If anyone's going through this, I hope this might be able to help them. They're more than welcome to reach out to me and I can share what I know and what I've learned. There's lots of resources that we can use to overcome these challenges now. But yeah, just keep in mind to maintain your hearing health so you have a nice, long and wonderful music career. And yeah, we'll see you next time, guys, on the Music Maker Podcast. This is Flash 89 signing out.
Thank you for listening to the Music Maker Podcast. If you liked the show, feel free to share this episode or leave a review. You can also personally reach out to myself on Instagram and let me know your thoughts at Flash 89 Music.